As someone who is so excited to garden this spring, yet really wants top quality soil, I'm really excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine, which is an esteemed brand renowned for its organic soil offerings. And if you're seeking to infuse your home environment with a nourishing essence that promotes flourishing plant life, you're gonna wanna listen to this, because with over 28 years of expertise, Coast of Maine has meticulously crafted soils sourced from oceanic waters and farms certified for organic cultivation. It's so nice to find such a sustainable, eco-friendly brand who really emphasizes the importance of natural ingredients to enrich their soil. And I mean, they have, like I said, top quality with rigorous quality control and OMRI listed certification. Their diverse range of products caters to all gardening needs. Most of our soils may lack appropriate nutrients for success for our plants, and our plants need this. We want to regenerate the healthy microbes in our soils to set up for gardening success and just for our plants to thrive. So if we add Coast of Maine products, this will indeed help. Whether you're planting trees or shrubs or perennials in your yard, adding Coast of Maine soil in your planting holes leads to a long, slow feeding of your plants, making them self-sufficient and vibrant, which we love. Let's say you want a vegetable garden. Not only will you receive abundant harvest, but there will be less feeding and maintenance throughout the season. Amazing. You know that everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. And then you get to also feel good about their sourcing, as I'm so thankful they provide natural ingredients, because they will never include household waste or biosolids. And we know that nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, cultivated from products and practices rooted in Coast of Maine. And so they will continually perfect the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and the place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. We love supporting local, and the products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. So Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert. Anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. And their products make organic gardening simple and approachable so we can all garden. So let's get to growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. That's Coast of Maine, like the state with an E, coastofmaine.com. I am an everyday a touch of mascara kind of gal, though I love a full glam moment. So whether I'm simply just adding my liquid lash extensions mascara by Thrive Cosmetics, or adding their highlighter, eyeliner, or eyeshadow to my full glam, Thrive has been my go-to since 2020 for most of my makeup products. So that's why I'm so excited that they're sponsoring this episode. And why do I love them? Well, not only is their quality and their application just chef's kiss, but also the causes they support. In fact, it's in the name, Thrive Cosmetics. C-A-U-S-E Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty Skincare exist to empower their customers, employees, and giving partners to live their most confident lives. And so they believe in responsive giving. And so thanks to your support, they either donate their high performance products or much needed funds to help communities thrive. Can't emphasize enough how great their mascara is. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. Plus, it's incredibly easy to remove. Just a gentle wash with warm water, and it doesn't leave any smudges. The nourishing ingredients also support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And let me tell you, as someone with blonde eyebrows, I really do appreciate the natural look of their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. This easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder. So just a few strokes to the line of your brows and fill in any sparse areas, and it comes with a little spoolie brush to lift and tame your brows afterwards. So with 8 shades to choose from, you'll always find the perfect match for your natural brow hair color. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order. Yummies, you know, as 2021 comes to a close and we envision our 2022, I figured I'd release this episode as many of us are looking into furthering our creative endeavors. And so if you missed last week's episode, which I hope you didn't because it was very near and dear to my heart, and I highly recommend you listen to it as I spontaneously spoke on my creative experience in this current time and daring to fall and to allow myself the grace of failing. In fact, I believe it's called Dare to Fall and Allow Yourself the Grace of Failing, and also why I have not released my poetry book yet. What really happened with that? I express all of that in last week's episode. After releasing that episode, this episode that took place in early 2020 before COVID even hit the States, I recalled this episode and I was thinking that this needs to go up for us and to help us set the creative tone for 2022, especially as this podcast evolves and we focus more on creativity to satisfy that aspect of our soul. So this is indeed to help other visionaries and their art flourish. I left the same intro in that I shared in 2020, which it's so interesting to listen to myself at that time, knowing that my energy was different and in a different place due to the fact that the entire world was in a different era and aura at that time. Love Rebecca as well, who was the special guest. And Rebecca Wrights is a prolific artistic queen in the digital space. And I, of course, hype her up more in the intro. Ugh, she's just such an amazing soul. I love her. This episode is also sponsored by a new sponsor, Uncommon Goods. More on them in the midst of the episode and in the show notes. If you haven't already, I hope you enjoyed last week's episode. There were actually two, the one that I just talked about and also a mini-sode of the full moon, but that has passed. But if you feel like listening to that anyway, why not? And it's a short, fun mini-sode. I'm pretty sure certain podcasting platforms will notify you if you are a subscriber. So feel free to subscribe if you feel called to so you don't miss an episode. Anyway, enjoy this magic again or for the first time if you're listening to this for the first time. And on with the show.
And so, yeah, I would seek out what other people are doing to find inspo. And every single time I made a design, I was like, eh, like that's just not resonating because it wasn't mine. It's this kind of conglomeration of images I've found on the internet. And it's funny to see what like this one simple shift has done for my creativity and just my mind and body and spirit.
Now let the magic begin. Hello, Njaima. Njaima Yomis. It's Raquel. I hope you are having an amazing Leo moon season. I know I am. Also, this episode is dedicated to many of you. This is one of those episodes you realize you never knew you needed. And why is that? Because this is the episode for the creatives, such as yourself, for those who may just create art as a hobby or want to get into the practice of creating more art, or those who are experiencing a rut with their art.
even those who are doing it for a living but feel like that they've lost their own creative vision in some way, their own creative voice, this episode is for all of you, because for whatever reason, a lot of your questions that were sent in covered many different shades of the creative journey. And I am so happy to be talking creativity with one of my dear friends and also one of my favorite illustrators who has now made a name for herself, more so a vision that many people recognize now, which is a lot of goddess art infused with some metaphysics that is so my vibe. And her name is Rebecca Writes, or Becca underscore Writes on Instagram. And I must say that she is someone who is dedicated to her craft and has really explored and discovered and just flourished with her own creative vision by, you know, living life and then exploring her curiosity and trying out new things, feeling like she's failed at a lot of things to finally get to where she's at. So wherever you're at on your journey, whether you feel like you are a little lost or you need a little more creative spark or you just like to hear someone's journey and relate, this episode is, again, one of those episodes you never realize you needed. All right, and now, with all that being said, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Rebecca Writes.
It's so funny because I've actually never meditated every day consistently for a long period of time. And I started in the new year and I'm like, okay, I feel like I didn't even set it as an intention, but it's just happened. And so now, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to dedicate this year. And if next year I waver, fine. If middle of the year hits and it's not working out, fine. But it's been so nice. Wow. I love it.
I love that you just naturally, organically allowed yourself to meditate every single day. Has that helped your creations by any chance? We're just going to jump into the interview right here. Might as well. Yes.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I love that our natural conversation is this.
I mean, first of all, when I listen to podcasts and I get to hear the pre-interview, I absolutely just love that because I connect more with others and it inspired me to just do that, especially when I'm interviewing a friend like you.
Love it.
Yeah. So I think that this is such an interesting place to start because a lot of people, I mean, not only new year, new them, new us, new everyone, but new decade, 180 degree change for most everybody. So for you, meditation is one thing that you've implemented. How has that helped your creativity, if at all, which I'm sure it has?
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, it's kind of what everybody expects, but I'm such a dreamer as is that it gives me a container to dream or, you know, whatever, kind of let my mind wander. And, you know, it's a culmination of things, but it feels like meditation is one, getting out the head trash and all of that stuff. I do it at the beginning of the day, so I don't have a ton quite yet, but I can shake off anything from the day prior and just kind of let my head wander, especially after kind of waking up from actual sleep. I'm still kind of in a dreamlike state. So it's cool because I feel like the first half of my meditation session is just kind of, okay, thinking about my day. Okay, I got to do this. And then I kind of just zone. And, you know, when you let your mind wander, for me, I'm such a visual person that visual things start to kind of flood in, whatever they might be. And so, yeah, there's no specific thing that comes to mind, but it's just giving myself that space in the morning really, I mean, it focuses my day and, yeah, gives me some space to inspire myself through myself. So, yeah,
Exactly. You've hit every single nail on the coffin right there. I noticed that for myself personally with my creativity, if I don't meditate for a long period of time, I too am a dreamer. So my dream state will just stay a dream and I won't really take anything into action. Mm-hmm. So for you, especially since this creativity is your career, I mean, you are a designer for a living. It's so beautiful that you have that beginning meditation space to see and that you have your own. It doesn't sound like you feel the obligation to recite mantras or find a blank silent space within.
I haven't quite yet. Like, you know, maybe I try that one day or whatever. But I think for me, it's just such a great space to escape from the noise, especially as a creator, when we have Instagram and we have Pinterest and we have X, Y, and Z that are almost like influencing our creativity, or, you know, you're like, oh, that artist, that's so cool. I want to make something like that. When I love meditation or just sitting with yourself, because then you know that whatever you're creating is truly drawn from within or another space that's not the internet or, you know, whatever. Like, yes, I see those things. I'm going to digest them and absorb them no matter what. Like, I see them every day. You can't avoid seeing things and absorbing them. But also, you know, if I don't meditate or if I don't take that space, then sometimes I can find myself sitting on Pinterest for inspiration or Instagram for inspiration. And that's when I feel like my designs or whatever start to like fall a little flat because they're not truly mine. So they don't feel unique. And then I look back and I'm like, I don't know. So it's interesting to kind of see the difference of what a day meditating does versus a day just like hopping on my phone.
I think that that is so beautiful because it's like that is the start of your day. And so to emphasize how beautiful for everybody meditation in their own way, you don't have to do it the way a monk in Tibet does it. You can just do it your own way. And basically the whole point of how you're doing it is to listen to your creativity within, because like you said, there is that external noise all over the place. I think that that is beautiful, that for you, that helps you keep in tune with your own creativity.
It does. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, I was kind of in a, you know, creative rut for a couple of months last fall. And it was because I was so out of tune with myself. I wasn't meditating at all. I didn't really have a meditation practice last year. It was really just I did it here and there kind of thing. And so, yeah, I would seek out what other people are doing to find inspo. And every single time I made a design, I was like, eh, like that's just not resonating because it wasn't mine. It's this kind of conglomeration of images I've found on the internet, and I would never end up posting them. So then I'm not sharing, I'm not connecting. So it's funny to see what like this one simple shift has done for my creativity and just my mind. And body and spirit. I'm just, it's such a cool tool.
Oh, I love that. I had no idea that in fall you were in a rut. So maybe we should indeed expand upon that. But first, I feel like everybody, before we get into the questions and everything, I mean, those that don't know who you are, I would love for everybody to hear about you and your journey and what led you into this career of being a designer full time and honestly just like sharing your magic in such a brilliant and expansive way.
Yeah. So, thank you so much. That was so kind. But
wait till the intro, which I have not recorded yet.
No, I love it. So, I mean, I went to school for visual communications was the name of it. And I didn't really know that's what I wanted to do until I got there, like classic college student who's like, what is going on? But so studied design throughout college, so had every intention of doing that after school was over. I loved it.
Where was it?
I went to school in Missouri. Oh, wow. And I'm from the Chicago area, so Midwest gal all around. I was actually supposed to play soccer in college, so that's why I ended up where I did. It was so funny because like soccer was truly my whole life, and then I played music on the side. Art was such a like third layer, like something I didn't really do that much, you know, until college.
Wait, I see that. I see soccer in your life. That is insane. You do seem like a soccer player.
That's
that,
so funny.
You know, from my school or something. Yeah, you do. Yeah. But wait, what music did you play?
So I play the piano and I sing. So, and I still do that. And really have been actually diving back into that. So that's kind of, it's so funny because I feel like music and art have like switched places because now art is such a prominent thing in my life and music, you know, it's still there, but it's more like my hobby. So it's funny to kind of see those reverse roles.
For now.
Yeah, for now. We'll see. But
so I already had like 500 ideas pop in my mind for you as you said that. But anyways, keep going.
I love it. Yeah, so from the Midwest, went to school in Missouri to play soccer, and I had actually torn my ACL like 1,000 times, and so it was funny because when I got to school, supposed to play soccer, it just didn't work out. I had torn my ACL right before our like preseason or whatever, and so you know what? I just decided, okay, like this has been my whole life, like every day, all the time, every weekend, you know, since I was in middle school. And so I'm going to take this as a fork in the road and I'm going to choose to do something else because it was just kind of exhausting at that point to keep going into surgery, keep recovering, keep playing this really like high intensity sport. Like, and it was kind of really tough on my mind. And so it was kind of then that I decided to dive back into art and music and, yeah, just like a little bit more intensely. And so, yeah, I went to school. I loved design. And then after school was over, you know, obviously went looking for jobs and was kind of looking in California, back in Chicago, Seattle, because I feel like I love the city, but I also love nature. So kind of trying to find something that has both, maybe not Chicago, but, you know. And so it was funny because there was this place in Colorado, in Vail, that just like totally resonated. Their work was awesome. And I kind of got in contact with them and things worked out. And they were like, we want to hire you, da, da, da. So I moved out to Vail.
So beautiful too.
Yeah. But so not what I would have expected at all for myself.
Small.
Yeah. I was like, what am I doing? Everybody's like, Vail. I'm like, you know, everybody after school's like, okay, I'm going to like New York, or like, hey, I'm going to Chicago, or, you know, I'm going back to St. Louis, being in Missouri. And I was like, I'm going to Vail, Colorado. People are like, okay, what? Yeah. And I loved it. I worked at a design agency out there for 2.5, 3-ish years. And meanwhile, working at like a bookstore, I was working for, I was apprenticing for a woman named Annalise, who owns Annalise Salvo Design Co., which is, at the time was based out of Santa Barbara. So I was working for her and I was freelancing. Wow. So I was in that space of just like doing 1,000 things.
Yeah, you did not have any time.
No, and that's just what I was used to, though. I was like so used to filling my time. I'm such a, like, I want to learn more. Like, I need to be doing everything to feel worthy a little bit. Like, now I can see that. But, and so, and just learning a ton about branding, about web design, da-da-da. And that was so exciting to me, especially as, like, a design student, because the design field is pretty competitive at this point. So, yeah. And then there was just like a day where I realized how tired I was. Obviously, I was getting up so early to like finish my freelance work and then go to my agency job. And then I leave my agency job to go to my bookstore job and then get home and do my apprenticing. And then, you know, it was just this crazy kind of cycle. And I had a friend or two out there. One girl's name is Britt Felton. I'm calling her out. She's also an amazing illustrator in this space. And so, and she really kind of introduced some of the more metaphysical concepts to me. And we would talk astrology and like crystals and blah, 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 which is all very new to me. being from the Midwest and, you know, I went to a non-denominational Christian church, like all of that stuff was so new. And so she kind of like was like my like, look at all this shiny, awesome stuff. And I was so into it. And that's when the design journey or illustration journey or art journey or whatever that people see on Instagram, like that's where that started. And, you know, I was kind of like living alone-ish in the mountains. I had roommates here and there, but I didn't have like a ton of friends. It wasn't a bustling city. So it was really like quiet time of life for me, even though it was busy. It was me really like learning and kind of absorbing a lot of new things. And so I started to really dive into just like all things the metaphysical world or self-reflection world or whatever you want to call it. And illustration was my way to kind of process what I was learning, honestly, through like the captions on Instagram. Like, yes, I was illustrating, but I like loved to write in the captions like thoughts that I was having and see what other people thought. And that's kind of where, again, what people see on my current Instagram, like that's where that journey started. And I still do, you know, traditional graphic design work like branding and web design and all that jazz. But that's where the illustration of the things people see kind of came to fruition.
The goddessy, so, metaphysical.
Yeah.
Not only, yeah, illustrations, but your writings as well are absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
And just moving and relatable, well, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's, they both go so hand in hand. And that's what's funny is I'm like, yeah, like the illustrations help me process, but it's almost like I make them so I can write something so I can hear how other people think about it. So it's like a big component, even though I'm not really a writer. It's more just my way to connect with community.
You are. Mm-hmm. Everyone is.
Everybody is. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like everybody's an artist. Everybody's creative. So.
Yeah. And everybody does have the ability to go write something down that speaks from their heart. But you also have done it probably because you've done it for a while now where it's poetic and people can be very captivated by what you write because I feel like I can relate in so many ways.
And I think that's why we connected.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, this girl gets it.
I get you.
My sister. Yeah.
Well, and also you're one of my favorite. I mean, I'm obsessed with illustrations. I'm obsessed, especially metaphysical illustrations.
It's so fun.
Yeah. I can go just down this wormhole of different kinds of, not just spiritual illustrations, though that is what I usually post because, you know, it's what I know people that view my stories resonate with. It's on brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it is.
It is. It is. But man, there's so many other types of illustrations as well that just like completely inspire me.
You should. Yeah. I have a print inspiration board or, you know, like an illustration inspiration board, and it is so scattered, but
I love that.
I mean, some illustrators, I'm just like, what? It just takes you to such a moment in time, which I love about illustration. I just love it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can see the lighting and like the coloring. And I'm just, it's like reading a book. You're just transported to another world.
Exactly. And so, yeah,
I do the wormhole thing. I do that as well.
It's almost like you get to create a story for whatever. Yeah. It's like a picture book, seeing a lot of picture books. But with that being said, the fact that I see so many illustrations, you truly, and I'm not just saying this because you're one of my friends and I share your work and stuff, I genuinely, you're one of my favorite illustrators because there's something about what you do that I just feel like, again, this picture book, I can jump right in and almost be that girl or see that girl as a friend or goddess or whatever you're posting.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I just, that's amazing. I feel it. I relate to it, you know?
That's the goal.
And I think it's also because you're writing with it too.
Yeah, that's totally the goal of kind of what I'm doing is I want, and especially women, but anyone really, to see it and be like, oh, that's me. I love when people buy my prints and they're like, oh my gosh, that feels like me. Because it feels like this inner, like our inner goddess or whatever. So that's why I make like the girl that looks like a warrior or, you know, the girl who's calmly sitting in nature or whatever. I just want to place people in a moment in time that they can look at and be reminded of a feeling. And so I love that that's what you said.
Oh, absolutely. The one that I just feel when I see her, I feel when I envision or I have those, it's a kind of meditation where you envision your highest goddess self, yes. if you want to say yes. highest, or just another version of yes. your goddess self. And my Shakti oh, yeah. one that I've used on my playlist and I've just posted mm-hmm. a million times, that is exactly who I see when I close my eyes and I yeah. see her, me. I see her and I'm like, whoa, this yes. is insane.
I love that. That's like... That is what I want my art to feel like, because that's why I make it for myself. And I have my certain prints that I totally resonate with. I'm like, yep, that's my girl.
Yes.
Which,
yes.
you know, I don't feel that way about every single print, but there's certain ones that, you know, that's just how I envision my inner goddess or whatever. Yes. And so it's cool to see it and have that little reminder, visual reminder.
Yeah, it really is. And sometimes mm-hmm. with some of my friends as well, where it actually does generate this yes. feeling of a nostalgic feeling within me. For example, the one uh-huh. of the girl I'm just looking at, scrolling through right now, mm-hmm. looking at the pictures that I posted for the story, and one uh-huh. it's a girl in a water, a girl with long hair in the water with the moon above her holding her heart, and it reminds me of Allie and oh, the Thames in Hawaii. That. It looks so much like her to me.
I need to like look.
Yeah, and she's in a white bathing suit, and it just literally brings oh. me back to that time, and it
yes.
that's a big part of when your magic began. Oh, so it's like a that. Super beautiful nostalgic picture that just mm-hmm. really gives off me this a very profound, beautiful feeling. So yeah, your work really does that. Yeah, right,
that's the goal. I love hearing that so much.
With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. So this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today.
How do these goddesses come about?
Yeah, so sometimes it is through my meditations. I just kind of will see a pose or something like that that I think is cool. Yeah, sometimes it is kind of like an Instagram thing where, you know, you see so much of it. I do yeah. think it's kind of just like absorbing all those images and then they kind of come to life.
Of course.
I do look at, you know, figures are hard to draw. So it's taken a long time to get to this point. But honestly, I'm like, this might ruin it. But I look at iStock and we'll just look at pictures of women, so it's like very fresh in my brain what they
really look like,
you know, what the female figure look. Yeah, it's almost just like I have to look at a bunch whether it's on Pinterest, on Instagram, on freaking iStock, on Google Images, people in my life, whatever.
There's nothing wrong with the iStock.
I'm like, you know what? There's a lot on iStock. And so it is just nice because sometimes it's hard. You know, I've actually always envisioned just like, I need to do a photo shoot where I just take a ton of pictures of women in goddess poses because I would love to do that one day. But, you know, if you're looking for a certain mudra or something like that, you know, you need a reference image, or I still need a reference image. I'm trying to get to the point where I can just draw without in full. But yeah, and then the rest of it really is something that comes through when it's, you know, meditation, or sometimes just throughout the day when I go on a lot of walks as well. It's almost like another type of meditation for me, going on walks and just listening to music. And so, you know, sometimes they just come to me. It's like a visualization thing. And so, and that's normally what's happening around the girl, whatever it is. Is she in a kind of like a warrior stance? And if so, like what's around her? And, you know, sometimes I see mushrooms and I'm like, that would be cool or whatever. So it really just depends on the drawing and the day, but that's kind of how they start to come to life.
That is so beautiful. And you also are super lucky that when you walk around, not only in nature, because you are in Colorado, but also the area you are, the arts district, you're surrounded by creativity. Mm-hmm. That creative energy is everywhere. And the creativity is all over the place. So many different dynamics of creativity, but you are surrounded in the center of it. So you are infusing your soul with this energy, and that it just fuels your creativity even more, which is such a beautiful thing, because environment is everything.
It's huge.
Well, it's one like of really it's huge. Huge. Yeah.
I've noticed. Yeah. But yeah, it's really great to be in this space with all these people. There's so many creative people around me. So yeah, it, when you're in the rut, you're always like, how am I in a rut?
Oh, there's my
so
gosh.
Much cool stuff around me, but it definitely helps.
Well, the thing is, ruts, I think, are such a beautiful part of the creative process. Like rest days with working out, you almost kind of need it.
Yeah.
For some reason, I think our mind, our creativity just needs a little bit of that silent space.
Mm-hmm.
Rewinding back to one thing you said, you don't think that, or you need some sort of, what was
reference
it?
Image?
You said reference, yes. Mm-hmm. So for some reason, when you said that, I had one of those thought whispers that was like, oh, if she only knew. I genuinely think if you were to just challenge yourself when you have a little bit more time, maybe 30 minutes next week or something, to just, you know, create without any reference image, I know it would be way more profound and just actually easy and effortless than you give yourself credit for.
Yes, definitely. So. No, and I have before, and that's still one of my, actually the one I just posted, no reference image for that. And that was awesome because I was like, okay, but I think it's, you know, I try to be as real and transparent as possible. And, you know, I went to school where I took illustration classes and I took figure drawing classes, and I think it's fair. And I want other, especially like younger artists, to know that, you know, if you're not making this stuff out of your mind right away, that's okay. Like, look at something and then adjust it. Like, nothing I ever make is fully what my reference looks like. It's more so I can look at something and see the body shape and draw from there. And that's how I've gotten to the point now where I can likely start to make stuff like I did, you know, in my most recent
that's
post.
Beautiful.
Where I'm like, okay, like, let's take the training wheels off the bike.
Oh, you're so beyond. Even when you used reference, you're so beyond the training wheels.
Yeah, but it's exciting to start to step into that space. And it's scary because you're like, okay, I know. And it takes longer. It definitely takes longer. But it's funny that you just said that because I really have been afraid to do it. But it's time. It's time. And again, now that I'm meditating more too, I'm able to see these images a little bit clearer than before. So I think that's helping as well, where I can see these women a lot clearer in my mind. And so that's my reference image. instead of the internet. But I do think it's important to take those baby steps, learning how to figure draw, taking a class online if you can't take one in school, and just starting there, and then using these reference images, and then getting to this kind of point where you don't need them anymore. So, because that's where the meditation and drawing is for me. And it's funny because I, when it comes to plants and stuff like that, I don't need a reference image. Like, those are so meditative and so fun to draw.
Yeah.
But yeah, people can be kind of tough. So, yeah. It's been cool though to watch the journey of kind of even just before, when I wasn't even drawing women, I was just drawing like plants. So it's an evolution.
Exactly. Did you used to use reference images for the plants?
I think so. Yeah. I'm sure at some, yes, I would say yes. And you know,
see, your raw vulnerability and honesty for this entire process and just what you're going through and being able to hear this and hear your evolution for people to know where you're at as well. I mean, do you know how not only motivational, but also just relatable that is for those that feel like they don't feel like their creative self because they have to have this reference
exactly image. Yeah, but I think it's honest. And you know, even in, I mean, I went to school for this. I know plenty of other people who went to school for this. Yes, we're learning how to figure draw, or, you know, look at an object and draw it on our, you know, sheet of paper with an HB pencil, but also at the same time, we're all using some type of reference. No one's just drawing from scratch as a freshman in college. Or maybe you are. There are those people who are just so incredibly like gifted and talented. But I like to be honest because I think it's something that's, you know, can scare people away.
It's debilitating to not think you can.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. There's so much fear around doing it that then no one does it. And you know, I've had that experience with music before where I'm like, oh well, I'm not good at it, or oh, I don't know how to improvise, or oh, I'm not a jazz pianist, so I can't do it. And it's like, whatever, just you know, if I want to look at sheet music from high school so I can play the piano, that's what I'm doing. You know, just do it how you need to do it, with a little disclaimer of, you know, don't copy people's art, or you know, copy someone's stuff or whatever and post it. But like, if you're practicing, like, do what you need to do to practice. And yeah, try to be open about that, because I learned that in school, and it's something that's helped my journey. And yeah,
so back to the rut. How did you get out of that?
Whew. I don't even think I realized I was in one, you know, just because I do design work full time. So I have plenty of clients that rely on me every day. So I'm still creating every day. And so you don't really think, oh, I'm in a rut, because you're still creating. But it wasn't feeling soulful, and I wasn't creating illustrations. So what's always kind of, I'm trying to kind of bridge this gap this year, but I have the illustration work that people see under Becca_writes on Instagram. And then I have my design business, which I don't share as much of that work on my Instagram. I have a separate one. And yeah, I wasn't posting many illustrations. I wasn't really feeling spiritually connected. So, you know, a disconnect there meant a disconnect from my illustrative work, just because that's my visual journal for what I'm learning on a spiritual, emotional level. And so, yeah, I mean, getting out of the rut was really, it's kind of boring, but truly taking care of myself and allowing myself the space to just be in the rut. You know, it's like, okay, yes, I love connecting with people on Instagram, but I don't do it just to like do it. I do it because I have something to share, something juicy I want to like know about, or something I've discovered that I want to talk to people about. And so if that's not happening, like, I'm not posting, and that's okay. And it can feel kind of weird, but it was really just knowing, okay, I'm in a rut, but I'm still working and I'm still surviving, and that's enough right now. And So when the new year started, I moved into a new house. I was in LA. I kind of had, there was just a lot of like life stuff. And it's like the stuff people don't see on the gram where, you know, I'm busy with client work and I'm not just sitting in a beautiful place drawing all day. Like I have clients with needs that I take care of. I have websites to design, logos to design. I have, you know, my body to take care of, friends to talk to. And I think it's funny because my creativity is fueled by the conversations I have with friends, the stuff I read in books. And if I don't have time to do those things, then yeah, I just let myself fall into the creative rut so I could make space to go try new things and give myself some time to breathe so I could get back to making stuff. So yeah, I mean, kind of simple, but just the real, real.
Really, I wouldn't say that sounds simple because you really do have so much going on, and your different clients, I'm sure, have different ideas of what they want for their companies. So in a sense, you have to think of all these different genres of your art, in a sense.
Yeah.
That sounds like a challenge in and of itself. So the fact that always come back to yourself and you found a way, that's so powerful. And it just shows how much power and also self-dedication you have. And that's extremely inspirational. But to know that no matter where someone seems like they're at, we all go through a hard time.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And it's just the stuff no one sees. Yeah. You're not like, hey, Instagram, I'm so stressed out moving into my house right now because the movers didn't show up. Like, you know what I mean? No one sees that. Or, you know, I'm in the terminal and I'm in the totally wrong terminal and now I have to run to this. You know what I mean? Like those like small little life things that add up.
Absolutely.
And I think honestly that's why I was like, okay, I gotta meditate, like I gotta do something, like this stuff is gonna always be a thing. We're always gonna be in, you know, air quotations, busy. And I'm really trying to eliminate that word from my vocabulary because you know what?
Like,
it is funny because like, it's like, we're going to be busier than other times. But I used to hate the – I felt like this manifested itself in college more than any other time of my life. But it was like, who's busiest? Who can be busiest? Mm. And you almost have to tell someone, hey, I'm busy, to seem like you're doing something. Or like, how are things? Oh, they're busy. And I really make a point to not say things that other people say all the time, even if I'm kind of feeling it, like, oh, I'm busy, or oh, this year flew by, or oh, you know, this season's just hard. Unless I'm 100% feeling that way, I don't say it, because I think they're kind of like filler things that humans.
Oh, absolutely. Just, like that social script. Yeah, oh my gosh.
That's a great way to put it.
That social script, that small talk. Yeah. But I mean, it could, you're right, be true, but it also kind of sounds like a cop out sometimes.
Yes. It's something I'm like very focused on. So yeah, we'll chat about that.
we'll chat about that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So questions. There were many great ones that I shared.
So many good ones.
Right?
Your people. So good.
The listeners, they get it.
They do.
They get it. But also so many are extremely creative.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely creative people.
So cool.
It's insane. So seriously, when I posted you, I just knew so many people would be asking questions, because when it comes to creativity, I love that we're in a day and age where it is extremely celebrated.
Yes.
When I was a child, this is coming up and I don't know why, but when I was a child, my dad, except for acting, you know, I was a creative child. I just wanted to do all the creative things. I wanted to draw. I wanted to write little storybooks all the time, which I did. I even wrote little scripts and I sang and danced on the bed. You know, I couldn't deal with going to school. I fake sick all the time so I can go home and draw.
Yeah.
But then my dad told me, because he was born in 1944.
Yes.
He was like, if you go into art, you're going to be a starving artist, because that's just not a job for everyone, you know?
Oh, yeah.
kids mm-hmm. that are born today with parents that are just witnessing the evolution of art being extremely celebrated. I'm so happy about that.
I am too. It's yeah. really cool to see, even just over the like period of time that I've been illustrating, which I would say is since whatever, 2016. I would say that's when I kind of really dove in. And even just to see how it's evolved over the, 4 years is so cool and so refreshing. Yeah. You're just like, oh, good.
Ugh.
Good. And I think everybody's encouraging people.
Absolutely.
To do it. It's like, just do it. Just try it. Just have fun with it.
Even if you want to be a doctor, still just try something creative as well,
mm-hmm.
just to fuel that part of your soul. Yeah. I do think every soul wants to just express itself in some way.
Yes.
And whether that be illustration or writing or just something, and the best form of expression is not to go grab a calculator and calculate your finances. It's through art.
Yeah. In some way, shape, or form. I'm like, for me, my dancing, music, like that, I mean, art obviously is a way I express myself, but truly, like, if I like listen to my soul when I'm like dancing or singing or just like listening to a beautiful song, I feel chills down my spine. I'm just like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is it. Yeah. I'm not a dancer, you know, or whatever, but I go out and do it because it just feels so fun. It feels fun. It feels playful.
Yeah.
So if drawing feels playful, or playing music feels playful, or writing or whatever, like, oh, we should all be doing something like that here and there. Get it out.
Talk about medicine. Talk about medicine. Yeah. There you go. That's the doctor's medicine, is to get creative gloves on. Some of these questions you already answered in a sense while we were talking about Spiel. So some of them, it doesn't hurt to reiterate.
Okay.
For example, this very first one you've definitely answered. But if you want, you can like just reiterate what you said really fast.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Meg Dawn, how did you learn how to create your art?
So school. I took an illustration class. I was horrible at it, mind you. Like, truly. I mean, it was tough. And I took drawing classes in college, and then I didn't touch it for a long time. And I will say, I am a digital illustrator. It's so funny to me because it just clicks more, and it always has. Even since I was young, I just liked computers. I am going to throw this in here because I love sharing this fact, because I do think it's why I've been led down the path of digital illustration. But I loved computers and like figuring things out. I thought I was going to be a web developer or in like tech or something like that. Like, it was either that or art when I got to school. And I was like, oh, graphic design is cool because it combines the two. And that's how I ended up in graphic design. But, you know, I'm 26 years old, so when I was in school, we were working with, they're called Wacom tablets, so kind of like an iPad, but it hooks up to your computer, and so we were doing that in illustration class, and I was good at that. I was like, okay, I got this, because it just, I don't know, it just clicked more, and so, and once, you know, once the iPad came out with Procreate and all that stuff, I was like, okay, here we go.
I want to get Procreate so bad.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And so that is, and I know this is definitely another question, but that's like my medium. And so when I was able to realize like, okay, I can still be I can be a digital illustrator. I think there is a little bit of a, I felt weird about it. Like, oh, I'm not a inherent artist or inherently talented if I can't draw it on a piece of paper, but it just, and I can draw on paper, it's just not as, I don't love it as much. And so when I finally like let those walls down and like that, I don't know, it was kind of like a weird shaming around it where I don't know why, where I felt weird that I couldn't like draw on a piece of paper, but it like weirdly frustrated me. And once I was like, okay, I do have a screen and I'm not afraid to say that works a little bit better for me, made my life so much easier. And I had so much more fun with it. So
I love that. I mean, it lit you up and
it
just happened for a reason indeed. So no need to feel ashamed if, you know, you can only draw stick figures on paper. Just kidding.
Yeah. I'm like, it's just weird. It's like so funny to me because I'm like, why could I literally draw the same exact thing on an iPad and it looks totally fine on an iPad? I mean, it's easier to like erase and all that jazz, but like truly, first go at it, it just, I don't know. It works better for me.
You just liberated so many people.
Yeah, I'm like, guys, it's okay. Computers are okay. Yes.
Okay, so this is from Lauren Hendricks.
Okay.
And she asked, what has inspired the art she has created? I love her vibe. I also love that you can see a piece done by her and know exactly who did it without even needing to see her name. That's true. You have a look.
So, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm like, that's awesome. Because I don't feel like that, but, you know, it's cool that other people feel that way. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You have a look that whenever you're browsing Instagram and I'll see other people's name on something that you clearly did. Oh. But then I look and like they usually like credit you know.
Yes,
but
yes.
Yeah. Not like they stole your art. I would obviously send that over to you. We could do a whole podcast on plagiarism.
I can't go there. I can't go there right now. But yes. Yes. Yeah.
How to deal with perfectionism and art, Caitlin O.
Okay. Whew. That's a hard one. I'm a Virgo, so, you know, perfectionism is definitely up there for me.
Absolutely.
But honestly, my process, it's so funny, and I think it's just like this because of how I started, but I work at night. Like, I will think of something, and I won't start it until 8 at night, not because I want to start it at that time. That's just kind of what my life allows for. And I end by, you know, I gotta go to bed, and I do try to prioritize sleep. So I'll start at like 8 and end at, you know, 11, 12, and then I'll wake up and I'll finish whatever it was and make my post. Like, I do that pretty much every single time. And I think it's nice because it almost is so like regimented that it allows me. Yeah, it just, because I do it like that, there is no room for perfectionism. It's like, okay, this is what it is. And if I don't like it, I won't post it. If it's like really that bad. But for the most part, it's like, okay, here's my drawing. Here's my words to accompany it. It's going out. So
That makes it even better.
Yeah, it just cuts me off. Because otherwise you'll sit there and fix it and fix it and fix it.
Oh, yeah. I think that too over-edited. Honestly, you just miss so much of the magic that just came with the first draft.
Yeah. And honestly, I think a lot of my design work and, you know, the things I discover in design is that less is more, but sometimes you have to add more to figure out what the less looks like. But if that makes any sense. But so, yeah, I'll play with it. And then, you know, sometimes it just gets to the point where it's like, okay, you know what? This is done. Okay, I need to go to bed. This is definitely done. And that's that. So, and then just, yeah, allows me to get it out. So that's how I kind of handle my perfectionism because I am a perfectionist.
Well,
so,
that is a big, big, big thing for a lot of people. I too am. So
it is.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
What's something creative that you can do for yourself when it comes to your self-love journey? From Brendan Page.
Self-love journey. Oh, okay. I love to experiment. And so, for me, self-love, like, it's fun for me to try something new. And so whether it's, and I love, you know, like a float tank or a past life regression or going and getting a reading. Like, I love that stuff just because I find it so interesting. And sometimes it doesn't resonate. And sometimes it's something I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this once a month. Or it's a facial or it's whatever, like it's trying something or going to Himalayan salt cave or whatever. And I love like that realm of stuff. So that's where I live. But you know, I think for other people, it's kind of whatever you want to do or going and dancing and going to a concert or whatever. It's just kind of like getting my curiosity feelers out there and trying something new. If someone's like, oh, there's this event going on, it's a cacao ceremony, and I've never been to one, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go.
Your game. I see, like, you're always down for so much.
Dude, I'm, like, always down. Like, if anybody has any cool stuff that, you know, you've tried and you like and is fun and is cool, let me know.
That because, is awesome. Yeah. I love that about you, by the way. Yeah. That novelty really is the thing to also get people out of a rut, back to the rut thing.
Yes. But
yeah, just to spark that creativity and the self-love, because you get to explore more of yourself within these other different avenues you explore.
Exactly.
This is from Brenna V. Gallo or Gallo.
Okay.
Because it's the two L's. So I don't know if it's Gallo or Gallo.
Got it.
Do you have any rituals you do to get to create a piece? If so, what?
So meditation is definitely a big one. And then I do drink cacao sometimes just to like open up my heart space and make it a little easier for like energy to flow in and out. And so I do that. And I love doing cards, reading cards, tarot cards, whatever. So just because I think it's cool because it feels like you're getting a message from the universe. And no, not every single message should be like totally taken to heart, but it's fun for me. It's like fun and it can be fun. And so I would say those are like the biggest three things I kind of do. Ugh. And I get cozy and just let it happen from there.
Beautiful. I love all of that. So and by the way, tarot cards are one of my big inspirations, where they just spark a poem or something, which is crazy. Actually, most of my poems have stemmed from like a message I received from a tarot card, to be honest.
I love
it. So I love that. I want to infuse cacao now more into rituals.
I do it like maybe once or twice a week, and sometimes more, sometimes less, but I just really love it.
I love that.
And it's fun.
Okay, this one is from my girl Larissa, and her Instagram is Leaf Eater Larissa. And she writes, how do you maintain a regular practice? I find it hard to maintain balance in my art.
Oof. I mean, I hear ya. I don't think there is such thing as balance. And I mean, as you've heard through the podcast, for me, it isn't really fully consistent. I mean, sometimes I wait 2 weeks to make a new piece. And it can feel like you're waiting too long, but for me, it's more about creating authentic work. But I will say I am practicing my craft every day. So even if people don't see what I'm doing something. So, you know, whether it's just designing a quick card or, you know, designing a quick little illustration or just typesetting a quote and making it pretty, like, you know, it's easy for me because I have clients who need those things, so I'm forced to be creative every day. But I do think it's important to practice your craft every day, but you don't have to like share it, or it doesn't have to be the most perfect thing in the world. That's kind of how I maintain the balance, because I'm still doing it and it's not getting lost. Because, you know,
you can
drift off, but I think it's like anything. Like, I stopped playing piano, and then it was really hard to pick it back up 6 months later. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm rusty. So, you know, just kind of like practicing it.
I'm rusty. So important to just do whatever it is every single day and make that a habit. Because the thing is also – what you do that no one sees is really where the magic happens. And I can't emphasize that enough. We can talk about this because this is the listeners of Your Own Magic. And also I know Larissa is aware of this concept, but what you do when no one's looking really does have the greatest impact on your frequency.
It does.
Where you vibrate at.
Exactly. Yeah. Because then you feel like, okay, well, I'm still creating, like I'm still a creator. I'm still whatever.
Yeah.
I'm still me. I'm still like, I don't know how to articulate it.
A lot of people feel obligated to share because that is our world these days. It's like, all right, share. But there's so much magic as well as doing it for your soul and just knowing that it will end up unfolding in some way where other people can see it if you want them to see it, but also to question, why does everybody have to see certain things, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. People don't see half the stuff I have. And like, that's okay for me.
That's okay. That's powerful, I think.
They see a good amount. So
I love that. All right. This is from ZD Hubbard, who asks, I am going to college to be an art teacher. That's cute. What do you think is the best way to inspire others?
The best way to inspire others. I think it's a cheesy thing, but it truly is just to be authentically yourself and to express yourself in the most authentic way you know possible so that other people feel comfortable doing the same. Yeah, I feel like that's something that's reiterated to me a lot, but I feel very strongly about that. So, and I think it's cool because then it allows you to deep dive into what does make you you and what does make you your most authentic self. It challenges you to kind of dive into that. And once you're in it, it's hard to kind of step out of it. So
this is such a great segue question then. So L. Gilly asks, how to stay authentic to your voice when creating for clients?
Yeah, I think, you know, in all honesty, starting out, you kind of, at least as a traditional graphic designer, I didn't have that luxury, but, and I don't think many people do, but at the same time, that's an exploration phase where people are like, okay, this is what I want. And you say, okay, I will make that for you. No, maybe it's not authentic to your real self, but in those early phases, you're learning about what you like to make versus what you don't like to make, or maybe what client or industry you kind of want to focus your attention on. So for me, the wellness space really resonated, but I wouldn't have known that had I not worked with people in real estate or, you know, in videography or in the cannabis industry or whatever it is. I kind of had to experience that to realize, okay, this is what I like. And now that I'm in that space and whatever, I feel like people come to me for what I offer, and I'm pretty strong now in what I offer and sticking to it. And that's a hard thing because that is a boundary where you're like, okay, this client doesn't fully align, but it's money. And there was like that phase for me, and it's like, okay, but it doesn't align. And you kind of, it's a process. So you just start to learn what, you know, that authenticity feels like and what does feel aligned. And it takes time to get there. And then once you're there, you kind of won't compromise it. So it's kind of just this natural flow of, okay, like I want to work with clients who want to work with me and my authentic self. And so
that's so powerful. And I'm sure that you just end up attracting that because there is so much power in saying no, where of course the universe is going to flow to you those that are, again, aligned with the frequency that you want to generate out there and share out there. And there's so many different beautiful ones, but you're going to attract those that are more aligned with you. And just to trust that.
Yeah. And to, you know, be patient.
Yeah.
I think that's something, you know, it is a little hard. Being in the wellness space, I see us all talking about the flow and this and that and attract. Yes, that's all so true. But there is so much before that that had to take place. A lot of pushing, a lot of not really understanding, a lot of like saying yes when you mean no, to understand what it feels like to say yes when you say yeah, you know. So you kind of have to have that contrast a little bit and have that journey before you just get there and you're like, oh, now I have all these awesome questions. Like you got to, there's mud to walk through before, and that's okay.
Absolutely. That is one huge thing for everybody to take note. I think that there's so much power in the mud. So this one, speaking of clients, I thought was a good one. How do you find your clients? This is a great one for artists. Okay. This is from Alex Changes the World.
Cool. Great handle.
All right.
How fun. Yeah. So again, quite the journey, but I would say, you know, the first couple is, you know, I had friends who I worked for, and then they see your portfolio site. And, you know, I did work in an agency for a while, so I built up my portfolio with stuff from my agency. But so I would say for me, finding clients is more something I do in person. You know, I find someone who has an amazing plant shop in Denver, and we get to chatting. They realize I do branding or I'm an illustrator, and they're like, wow, cool. Let's talk about working together. Or, you know, I do grab coffees with people that I find interesting or that I think I collaborate with or whatever. at this point in time and at this point in my career, I'm not really seeking out clients. Like, clients are finding me. And that's just, I think, kind of what happens over time. And there are some clients I would love to snag at some point. And I'm still, you know, it's just making sure that I feel a lot, you know, it is making sure I feel good about where I'm at with my business and I feel good about where I am at with my career and feeling aligned on what I'm doing. So I can make sure that whoever I'm going out and chasing, like, it doesn't feel like a chase. It feels like, hey, this is my work. Does this resonate with you? And they're like, yep. And that's great. But yeah, right now I would say more of the work is people finding me. But again, quite the evolution. It wasn't always like that. So, but a lot of word of mouth, a lot of like getting out there and getting in your community and talking to people who aren't potential clients, just like other fellow creatives or whatever, and just kind of getting ingrained in whatever space you're at. And so, and just asking questions and continuing to be curious, and it all will flow. So accordingly.
I love that. And
well, yeah, that's a roundabout way to say it, but
I think that that is going to be so helpful for everybody to know that really do want to like go seek the clients, to know that basically just getting started is, quote unquote, seems to be the hardest part, but eventually it does end up just flowing. You don't have to try so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time.
It's time. It's all about time. This is from Katie the Moon Child, and I'll just ask two more questions.
Okay.
Hers is, how do you overcome loving an art form but never doing it because you feel like you're bad at it? For example, I love to paint and draw, but I get frustrated and don't do it often because I'm not a talented artist in those mediums. I think this is so powerful because of your journey when you were starting illustration, just to like quickly reiterate something, because a lot of people go through this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, I don't know, learning how to not be so hard on yourself. And if you really want to do it, you got to do it. Because I have that with music a little bit. I kind of fell off the train with music and tried to get back on it and felt like, oh, I'm not like good at this anymore. I should probably just not. And this year I was like, no, I'm actually going to do it. I'm actually going to practice, or I'm actually just going to, for fun, do this for myself. And it's, you know, 90% of the time, I don't know what's going on, but it's, yeah, if you want to paint, if you want to draw, if you want to dance, if you want to whatever, like, you have to want to do it for yourself. And yeah, kind of just shrug off the perfection. And the more you shrug off the perfection, like, the lighter you feel. And so you kind of got to shed those layers, which takes time. But I encourage people to just go for it. It doesn't have to be perfect. Like, the more you do it, the better it gets. It's like anything, riding a bike, playing soccer, playing piano. Like, the more you do it, the better it feels. There's so many things I do that I am not good at, and I really struggle with that. Like, I'm very competitive with my own self, but it's good for me to kind of do it, because I'm like, okay, you know what? Not everybody is good at everything all the time. So, you know, like, that's not realistic at all. So,
yeah.
And have fun. Be playful.
Perfectionism, I think, is a lot of people's just biggest block, or this idea that they need to be – it needs to be, well, perfect, but also not being able to open up to that playful side. I think that that is the creator's greatest block right there, quote-unquote block. And I think that actually answers, in a sense, RLS's question on advice for someone who is artsy but doesn't know where to start or how to express.
Yeah, I mean, I've touched on it a couple of times since talking, but
yeah,
it's just doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that feels like a lame answer. Like, sometimes it feels even lame to tell myself to just, like, go do it. But, you know, our thoughts are so powerful, and our, like, if, and the way we say things is powerful. And if you want to play piano, or if you want to draw, or if you want to be an artist, like, do it.
you have to do it, and then it will become your reality. Like, if you're too afraid to do it, then it makes it harder. Like, it just adds to the blockage. So just start and keep going. I mean, it is really a practice in resilience. And but once you kind of get, you know, a weekend after drawing every day, or a weekend after playing piano every day, you can visibly see a difference. And you're like, oh, look at me. So if it's like, okay, I got to set time aside to do this every single day or whatever it is, just try. I mean, try to do it for a week. Dedicate yourself to doing something for a week and see how you feel.
Yeah.
Because it is work.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sugarcoat it, because, you know, sometimes I play the piano, I'm like, wow, that was really frustrating, really horrible, but I showed up and I did it.
That's what matters.
And then the next day I do, I'm like, oh, that was great.
Yeah. Like,
depends on the day. Like, yeah, give yourself some forgiveness.
Ugh, Becca, this has been so helpful. Good. I mean, honestly, for creators that just, they might feel like they're in a rut, or yeah, they don't feel confident in their art, mm-hmm, or for the creator that just feels overwhelmed all the time, and just all the different experiences that pretty much all creators go through, I feel like we, yes, touched upon, yes, in this episode, because you just like, mm-hmm, revealed your soul and, yes, human experience.
Well, it's an ebb and flow. It's just an ebb and flow. Like, I'm in the flow right now. I wasn't for a couple of months, and I experience it with music, I experience it with art, yeah, experience it with clients. Like, it's just being a human, man.
I know. I mean, I'm not a fan of the ebbs. I'm kind of in an ebb, and, you know, it is, ebb. It's part of being human, in an ebb. Yeah. So the last question, though, that I ask all the Your Own Magic guests,
okay,
how would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Such a good question. I am going to end with being curious about who you are, because that is, to me, so fun, and that sparks so many things afterwards. And so, and that's where I've seen my success lies, in my curiosity for my own self, because when you're being playful and you're allowing your most authentic self to come out and you're exploring new things, like, you're taking care of you, and that's when the magic to do something new starts. And so that's how I advise other people to find theirs. So,
oh my gosh, that is so true, so beautiful, and it's on theme with the entire, pretty much the theme behind this entire podcast episode is, yeah, get curious and just do it.
Have fun. Yeah. Just do it.
Have fun. Be playful. Amazing. I want to see you again soon. Yeah, I think, please, that I'm so grateful to have you as someone that I've been able to not only just like connect with online, but also in person. And so.
I know. So wonderful. Come back to me, or I'll come to you.
Oh my gosh, Becca, you're amazing. And you are more than welcome to come on anytime.
This was so lovely. I love doing this or these or whatever, just talking to people. It like refuels you. You're like, yes.
Again, sparking more inspiration. By the way, I just want to make note of this for everybody, because most people that come on the podcast, they usually come on because they have of course they want to share their message. That's a huge part of it, but they also do have something that, you know, they want to promote because it's a part of their business. Yet you literally just came on just to.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, and I love it because it reminds me of what I actually believe. You know, it just is, yeah, reaffirming how I feel, ugh, about myself and my art and my creativity and all that jazz. So.
Oh, my gosh. I love you.
I love you.
You.
This was so fun.
Yomis, that is a wrap. That is a wrap for this episode. I hope that something spoke deeply to you, expanded you in some way. Please let me know if so. You can catch me on Instagram at Raquel Mantra. I spell Raquel a different way than most, so you can see the spelling in the show notes. Or hang out with the Yomis, the like-minded, very conscious and expansive and helpful souls on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. especially a place to turn to when it comes to, well, whatever you're going through. And there are several tools on the euromagic.life membership site. All right, well, thank you so much, and have a magical rest of your day.